Simply irresistible.
Who's a celebrity that you think is just so irresistible? Was trending all over the news that Jude Law was seen pushing a baby carriage, and they think that secretly they have given birth to their seventh child. Seven kids!
Wait a minute. Is it just him and his lady this whole time, or is this like 17th relationship or whatever?
No, it's from multiple women, apparently. He's simply irresistible,
yeah,
right?
I guess so.
Yes. Thinking about it, I'm like, all right, there's Eddie Murphy. He has 10 kids. Simply irresistible, he must be, because he just keeps, you know, having babies.
Now those residuals keep rolling in from Delirious and Raw.
Right.
And saw his new movie, by the way. Pretty good.
Yeah? It's so many other things.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Shrek money is good money.
Yep. Nick Cannon, of course, he's got these 11 kids, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Who is the celebrity that clearly is simply irresistible? Like, no matter what, you would have to just give in to them. Producer John, producer Sean, Raven, we were all talking about this because I thought the guys were going to get creepy. And then the responses were a little bit different than I thought.
Try not to get cringy.
Sean.
Paul Rudd. Simply irresistible. Okay, that's a guy who has never aged.
Mm.
He looks the same as he did in Clueless in 1995.
There's something lovable about him.
Yeah.
I put him in the same kind of category as Jason Sudeikis. A nice all-around guy that he's irresistible.
And he's also funny, too, which I think is a huge thing, you know?
The more you find out about Jason Sudeikis, I think Paul Rudd is more attractive.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. And you know what? He's that guy that bridges any movie, too. Like, so he can be any guy in any movie. Like, he can just come in when you're like, well, it's a difficult spot to continue with that story. They're like, well, they got Paul Rudd attached. You're like, oh, it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Paul Rudd actually goes hand in hand with my guy. I think Ryan Reynolds is simply irresistible.
Yeah.
Just funny, handsome, like great in movies, lovable, not intimidating, like too hot. Like David Beckham is too hot. Like he walks in a room and I can't even speak. But Ryan Reynolds, we're cracking jokes. And the next thing you know, I'm having 17 of his babies. That's
so,
what happens.
Wait a minute. So how many rooms have you been in with David Beckham? Or Ryan Reynolds.
No rooms.
None.
Not once.
No rooms.
Yeah. All right. I get what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, if anything, he just talks too much. But that rubs some people the wrong way. I think he's great.
Producer John, simply irresistible. Who
Andy
is it?
Andy Samberg. Simply irresistible. This is probably because I'm like on a huge Brooklyn Nine-Nine kick right now, but Andy Samberg, I cannot get enough of this dude. Everything this dude touches is hysterical. He does the songs too. He used to do like the crazy songs on SNL. Basically, he has my dream career.
Yeah, but he's not classically handsome. That's where his downfall is.
Slash Pete Davidson too. Any of those comic types.
Right? Well, doesn't that?
Pete Davidson is sneaky hot. We know that.
I mean, what? Classically handsome versus sneaky hot. What's the difference here?
Oh, there's a difference if you guys only understood. Raven, who is simply irresistible?
Well, now I get to be the creep because all I came up with was women's names. I mean, I got a few right now. I'm watching Ginny and Georgia on Netflix. The mom, Brienne Howie, is just a total like mess and crazy person, but there's something about her vulnerability or whatever in these situations. Like I could just see myself not being able to say no to her. Simply irresistible. And then Aubrey Plaza. It's just something about those eyes.
Aubrey Plaza for sure.
Stares right through you with those eyes.
Because she is the female version of Paul Rudd and Ryan Reynolds. Mm. That's what she is.
I don't know. I don't know. She might be sneaky hot. She might be Pete Davidson.
See, Raven was brave. Like, you know, you got the creepy note from Anna at the beginning and you still went with women.
Yeah.
Anna told us not to be creepy and me and Sean were immediately like, okay, that means we can't mention chicks at all.
Yeah. She gave me no such warning. She gave me no such warning.
It's like the moment when every parent freaks out and you don't know if you should call the police, but you know that you shouldn't call the police just yet. But the panic is just so much that you think you're going to lose your mind.
Yeah.
I had that happen
yesterday.
That's
a scary moment.
Yeah, it happened yesterday. So my toddler, Dakota, is 4 years old, and she is what the doctors like to call spirited, strong-willed.
Mm, she's passionate.
She's very passionate.
Yeah.
When she wants something, she can only have it her way. We're dealing with it, and we're surviving it. Barely, but we're trying our best.
My sister was very impetuous when she was younger, too. Funny thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But anyway, she loves Nonna's house. That's my mom, her grandmother's house. And she loves to go there. And she's off from school this week, so my mom has her all week long, which is basically her dream come true.
Right.
But her dream was even more come true yesterday because my nieces were there. And my nieces are pretty much the same age.
Big
as
playtime.
Oh, my gosh.
Going on at grandma's house. We got free reign of this place. It's anarchy. We may never have to go back to regular life.
Nona had all three of the girls yesterday all day long. And I was like, Nona is ready for me to pick up Dakota because that's a lot of work. So I go and, you know, I'm kissing my nieces and like saying hello to them and all
that.
And I was like, where's Dakota? My mom's looking around. She's like, Where'd she go?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dakota, Dakota. And she's not answering. And I'm like, okay. So now we're all looking for her around the house. We're okay. Like, Dakota, where yeah. are you? Where
now
are
it's
you?
Become a game.
Because I, you know, she loves hide and seek, right?
Sure.
But usually when she plays hide and seek, she hides under the table where we can all see her. So the fact that we can't find her is alarming because I don't think she understands that in hide and seek, you're actually not supposed to be able to see where she is. But that's a story for another time.
Yeah.
And we're searching all the closets and we're searching under all the beds. And now I'm downstairs in the basement. And I'm like, Dakota.
Yeah, this
Dakota,
isn't normal.
It's not funny, Mommy. You got to come out. Like, Mommy's getting scared. You know, like I'm starting to like get that panic, right?
Sure.
So now it's like, guys, go look outside. Like maybe she went outside and we cannot find this child, right? All of a sudden, my older daughter, who was with me, comes. She's like, I found her. She was in the office, hiding under the couch in my mom's office.
Quietly.
Dead silent.
Yep.
All the way back into the corner so that we never would have found her. And I was like, you can't do that. And she, you know, she's crying. I don't want to go home.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't want to go
home. I saw
home.
You pull up in the driveway and immediately decided that I wasn't coming.
Well, my mom announced... Like a fool. She was
your
like,
mom's
oh, your
here.
Mom's here.
You're right. And then she immediately was like, nope, I'm yeah. ghost.
Yep. And I at one point, I was like, I'm going to have to call the police. I lost my kid. My kid ran away. Like, where is she? You know, you don't know. All these things go through your head.
Sure.
But then you remember, like, when you were a kid and you were with your cousins and you were with your grandma who would give you anything you want, you would do some stuff, right?
Yeah.
I remember we used to hide our shoes. Did you ever do anything like that?
I think that my go-to move was remove my pants. When I was really young, I think I would remove my pants because I think that as a kid, you'd be like, well, they're not going to take me anywhere without pants. You'd be like, I need my pants. You know what I mean?
Not for nothing.
So I'd be at my grandmother's house. And, you know, same thing. I would hide behind a chair. And then you figure out after a couple times, that's not going to be good enough. Right?
And then you'd be like, Raven doesn't have any pants on.
You hide your toys. You hide your books. And they're like, no. We're related to these people. We're going to come back. We're going to see them again.
Yep.
So we'll find your books. If you don't have pants, they're like, where's his pants?
Yeah. Yes.
He can't leave the house without his pants.
It's the same thought mentality like us hiding our shoes.
Yeah.
Me and my cousins would hide all our shoes because how are we going to leave the house without our shoes?
Yeah, you got to take off something that, you know, you just can't leave without. Especially in cold temperatures. The pants was my go-to move, as I recall.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Very strange.
I mean, but it was effective. I mean, imagine if I was somewhere right now and my wife was like, we have to go, and I just removed my pants.
Well, then you would be arrested. Right.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's getting under your skin right now? 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Jennifer.
This is all I need to know about you. If you're on a crowded airplane and you have a little kid that is playing on their iPad with the volume up as loud as it can go without headphones, that's all I need to know about you.
Gotta buy the headphones.
Yeah.
Need headphones.
What's worse is the adult. The adult who set them up or the adult who's doing the same thing on their phone. And they're an adult. They have no excuse, right? I mean, a toddler doesn't know to bring their headphones. You have to put them on for them.
Right.
An adult is the worst when they're just like, oh, let me scroll through these videos on my phone. Let me play this video game on my phone and the volume is up. In what world is this still okay?
And by the end of the flight, we're all angry because we heard the same music for 3 hours.
Cocomelon on repeat can get to you. Mm. That is for sure.
Rachel, that's all I need to know about you.
If you film all your TikTok reels and the background behind you is a complete mess, that's all I really need to know about you.
And it seems to me if you're savvy enough to be doing the reels, you're savvy enough to just, you know, pick up a countertop behind you.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's been a big move recently to stop the aesthetic kind of everybody's kitchen looks the exact same beautiful brand new way.
Oh, yeah.
And to show real homes.
I get that.
But that doesn't change the fact that, yeah, but I could still see last night's dinner on your counter that you haven't cleaned
clear
up.
The dishes out of the sink. Right. Tidy up a bit.
I've had a reshoot reels that I looked at and I'm like, oh my gosh, like what am I, like there's like toilet paper
this
on
is
the
disgusting.
Nightstand. Like this is like, what am I thinking, you know?
The second I pull out my camera, my wife hates our kitchen. She wants it to be redone. So it's spotless. It doesn't matter. She's just like, just don't show our kitchen. I'm like, well, I'm standing here.
Yeah, I did that for years because before we did our kitchen a couple of years ago, but we would do live videos during the pandemic all the time in our house. And I was always embarrassed of my kitchen.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, gosh, I can't do a food segment, guys. Like, people are going to see my red backsplash, you know?
Terrible.
Amanda, that's all I need to know about you.
If you talk to me on speakerphone and you don't
tell me you're on speakerphone. That's all I need to know about you.
It is the first thing I ask when somebody picks up when they're in the car. Mm-hmm. The first thing, if I know that they're out, you know, if they're not just on their way or whatever. But you know what? My wife, it'll be the first thing she blurts out. This person's in the car.
Well, then I always feel like it's shady. It's like you have to like disclose it. And then it's like, well, what was I going to say?
Yeah.
That's so-and-so.
Well, I usually say something immediately about the person because my wife won't just say there's somebody in the car. She'll identify that person. Then I immediately say something offensive about that person. I go, oh, well, I guess we're not going to talk about this.
You're trying to diffuse the situation. But the truth of the matter is you're just like,
it's still uncomfortable.
It's still uncomfortable. Me and my sister are so good at this. Like, we'll call each other, but mom's in the car. Mom's in the car.
First thing
we'll say.
Right. I mean, when you think about the scariest person in your life finding out something about you that you didn't want.
Right, yeah.
That's the name that comes to mind.
Yeah.
Goosefava.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
This should come as no surprise, but 1 in 3 Americans don't get enough sleep. So hitting that snooze button seems really good when you're exhausted. 57% of people hit the snooze button. Are you one of those people?
I can't do it. I can't even hit the snooze button one time. If I hit the snooze button one time, the day is over for me. I will not be making it.
I don't hit the snooze button either because I'm afraid that I'm just going to accidentally shut it off or something. Yeah. I have 3 alarms set in my room. The first one will go off. And I know that if I don't immediately get up and shut it off, the other one's across the room.
Yeah.
It's so loud, it's going to wake up my kids and wake up my whole family.
Yeah.
So I got to like get myself out of bed and giddy up. But a lot of people do it. Now, is it actually healthy for you? This doctor has been trending all over Instagram.
The scientific reason why you should never hit the snooze button. Let me hit you with some neuroscience here.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Drop it on me, girl.
Yeah, here we go. Ready?
2 words, sleep inertia. When you hit the snooze button, you're awake. And as the alarm turns off, your brain then drifts back into sleep. And here's the thing that researchers have figured out. When you drift back to sleep after you've woken up, your brain starts a sleep cycle. And sleep cycles take 75 to 90 minutes to complete.
Huh.
That seems a little bit weird. So, I mean, if I close my eyes and doze for a second, I'm automatically in for 90 minutes.
Has that ever happened to you?
I mean, I could do that at any given point, but don't they tell us that the best nap time is like 20 to 30 minutes? So it's a little contradictory.
But if you're coming out of a deep sleep, that's what it says. When I go to my daughter's school pickup, please don't judge me. When I sit in the parking lot, I usually get there about 15 minutes early, right? And I immediately close my eyes and I can fall asleep anywhere.
Yep.
And I fall asleep, you know, parked in the spot waiting for her to come out of school. When she starts pounding on the door, Mom! Because she's so embarrassed that once again I'm sleeping in the parking lot with all the other parents, like in plain view.
Right.
I am in such a deep sleep that half the time I don't even know where I am.
No. Nah.
So I kind of believe what
takes
she's
you
saying
a minute. Here.
Yeah. She continues.
So when that alarm goes off again in 9 minutes, and you're like, oh my God, like, have you ever noticed you're like in deep sleep when you drift back to sleep? That's because you're 9 minutes in to a 75 minute sleep cycle.
I mean, I kind of get that.
She just sounds like the most cynical doctor I've heard in a while. Like, she's just like, listen, dummy, listen up, like New York doctor. All right,
but why is it all the snooze buttons are 9 minutes? Did you ever realize that?
I think there must be a reason.
It's got to be a reason.
Yeah,
right,
there must be some technical reason that they've basically set that as the standard.
Yeah.
That groggy, exhausted feeling that you have, that's not a function of how well you slept.
Oh.
That's you and me being an idiot for hitting the snooze button
and putting
our brain in a state of sleep inertia. And it takes your brain about 4 hours to get through that groggy feeling.
So basically she's saying that if you hit the snooze button, you're basically just setting yourself up for being exhausted for at least 4 hours after you actually get out of bed.
Is it wrong that I could tell from her accent she was going to call us stupid at some point? Is it wrong?
I had to edit out some bad words
that
she said.
I knew it. I knew it.
I like when doctors tell me like how it is, though. It's good. They say that your closet is a window into your soul. So when Raven had mentioned that he had cleaned out his closet earlier and that he had a bag of clothes in his car, I was like, go get it.
Yeah.
Here we go.
I had no idea that it would be, you know, basically, again, talking about all the things that I believe in my life and where my life is headed and so forth. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So your closet says a lot about your personality. This is a woman on TikTok discussing it.
Hmm. This is what the clothes you wear say about your personality. Wearing obvious labels of brands makes you seem insecure and like you need society's approval because you don't feel like you're good enough.
So, you know, that's funny. Because, again, it's kind of contradictory, right? Like, people tell you if you want to be a big deal, dress like you're already famous. Now, you know, Anna, from spending a lot of time around me, that this is not a problem for me. This is not going to be a problem. There's not a lot of labels that you're going to find in my closet that people are going to be like, oh, he's very hoity-toity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wearing big hoops and extravagant jewelry makes you come across as bubbly and social and can symbolize a constant need for attention and drama.
Do you have any hoops in that bag?
I can't say that I do.
No, any jewelry? No.
I used to wear, like, you know, metal bracelets and stuff, and the leather bracelets and stuff.
You did.
I don't wear that stuff
anymore. Remember when you started working here, you had all those earrings? I wanted to report you to HR. And then you pointed out that that's not actually a reason to call HR.
I have, like, yeah. I used to have, like, 6 holes in one ear and, like, 5. Or, I don't know.
I was like, this is too much, guys.
Yeah.
This is too much.
Yeah,
right?
We made a mistake.
Yeah.
Black makes you appear professional and elegant and like you're not seeking attention. Latest research has also found that black has a negative impact on your mood and your productivity.
A lot of black in that bag?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. I mean, yeah. I worked rock radio for a long time, so it's kind of a prerequisite.
All right, let's look. Let's see what you got. And I'll tell you if you're going to be high drama, low maintenance, or if you're insecure about yourself.
Let me just grab you a few items from the top here. And this is a contractor-sized trash bag full of clothes. So there are 1,000 items in here.
Yeah.
How about the black V-neck sweater?
Oh, that definitely says high drama. I've given up on life. The black V-neck sweater, to me, screams every guy circa 2001. Like, no matter where you would go, that's what every guy wore. Like, I must have thrown 6 of those out of my husband's closet recently.
I can tell you the truth. I have no idea where I got this. There's no way in any shape or form that I paid for this sweater.
That was the uniform for a long time for guys, the black V-neck sweater.
Speaking of uniform, as being a former rock guy, here we've got a pair of acid wash jeans. They still have the tag on them. Rock and Republic acid wash jeans.
I mean, those jeans are not bad. Why are you getting rid of those? Yeah, they're better than ones that you wear regularly.
I mean, I'll never wear them.
Why?
I don't know. I mean, you like my jeans? Is that what you're telling me?
I mean, they're better than the jeans you have on.
See, this is how you never end up cleaning out a closet.
There's a sticker on it that says $29.99.
Nice.
He's not. Yeah. So, I mean, at least we don't have
originally
to worry.
Originally 88,
oh,
huh?
Yeah.
All right. Woo!
Well, we don't have to worry about the high-end designer stuff for you.
That's
right. You're not insecure.
I told you it wasn't going to be a problem for me.
Yeah.
And then finally, we'll wrap it up with this one here. This is a sweatshirt that was given to me by a friend that was in prison. And you can order things to the commissary if you work in the place where they make, like, license plates and stuff like that long enough. And he sent me this this North Face sweatshirt.
Hold on. Is this the guy that you had come live with you when he had a break from jail but then to go back? But I thought that he was going to marry your wife and he was after Alicia.
That's a lot to say yes to in just a single word to your qualifying statement. But, yes, yeah, same individual.
I can take a guess why you're throwing away that sweatshirt. I can figure it out. Why is it trending? Top news story trending and why. This just popped up all over the place. 4-day work week is trending. So over the last year, you've been hearing a lot about quiet quitting and the great resignation and how people have just been leaving their jobs or they're burnt out and all that. And Raven, the look in your face already, you've got this like look like this is going to be nonsense.
Well, I mean, it's just amazing to me how many terms we've invented and how forward thinking that we are. And of course, you know, we're still falling behind in other ways.
Okay, the nonprofit group, it's called 4-Day Week Global. They released their info on a year-long study that they did on how people and businesses respond to a 4-day work week.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they said.
A 4-day week is a good idea because we've seen in the trials that have taken place in the United States, in the United Kingdom, and elsewhere all over the world over the course of the last year, that most of the companies participating in those trials have said they plan on making the policy permanent. Their revenue has either remained stable or has increased during the trial, and they've experienced that their productivity has been able to be maintained and in many cases even improved.
It's interesting when you look at the actual stats broken down, because here's the pros. Employees report that they sleep better, less stress, they have a better work-life balance, enhanced mental health. They're saying that their productivity increased by 35%. The next part is what I thought was really interesting. Men said that they spent more than double the time that they normally would with their children. And a lot of people are saying this may help with gender equality in the workplace because it takes pressure off the women.
I mean, all that is well and good. That sounds great. Everybody would like to work less and have better work-life balance.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, though, however, I think that a lot of this depends on what type of companies you are, what kind of products you're making. It's not really manufacturing, if you're in my eyes. I mean, obviously, the main thing about manufacturing is if there's nobody in the building, then you're not making anything. And manufacturing is a big deal moving ahead. Can't just leave that to other people to handle.
So how exactly it's broken down? It's a 4-day work week, 32-hour work week, but you don't have a reduction in pay. So basically, you're just working one less day.
Sounds great.
Sounds awesome. But there's also a lot of different versions of this, too, where it's a 4-day work week, but you work 10 hours a day instead of the 8 hours a day.
Okay.
I mean, it is kind of barbaric when you think about it, because the 40-hour work week, the 9-to-5, was established in 1938. And the fact that we still do that, you know, seems a little bit outdated now when so many people have the ability to work from home. But the cons to this, because there are cons, is that all the companies that participated were smaller companies.
Right.
So a lot of these big companies aren't willing to try this yet to see if it actually works or not.
Well, I think you can give yourself an example right now, right? Mm-hmm. Go home or take a look at even at your clothes or whatever, all right? And turn those labels inside out and see where all these things are made. And where these things are made, they're not doing 4-day work weeks. They're doing 7-day work weeks. And they're doing them all day long. And they're doing them at labor that's making like $8 an hour. And that's where we buy our stuff. The simple fact is that that's the truth. Goods and services, one thing. But goods, manufactured goods, I don't think you get that from a 4-day work week.
Well, I think it depends, like you said, on the type of business. Like, I think there's plenty of corporations and companies where you can finally finish your work in 32 hours. There's no reason. I mean, in our industry, in a lot of industries, I think you can.
We don't make anything here. Yeah. We just make
right,
talk. We don't manufacture anything. Let's say I'm standing outside your building and I'm waiting for you to build me something. How quick is it going to happen? Is it going to happen quicker if you're there 7 days that week or 4 days that
week? Yes, I understand that. So if you're working on a farm, this is not going to apply to you.
Right.
But if you're working in corporate America where they studied all this, it may be a good option going forward.
Oh, so the people that don't actually have to work all that hard that day, I guess.
I guess, really. Does every house have a specific smell? If you missed it last week, the term boyfriend air was trending all over TikTok and Instagram. And what is boyfriend air? Here's a woman explaining.
Spent a lot of time this past summer at my boyfriend's apartment in New York. I remember taking a full body shower and the next morning waking up and being like, I feel so dirty. A few months ago, I started seeing all these TikToks about boyfriend air. Totally get it and can see why now. Like, it just makes sense. And I know it's a thing because it was only in his apartment that I would feel this way. When he'd come to me, it was fine.
Do you think it's clarified by the fact that it smells bad or it just has a smell?
I remember my husband, when we were dating in college, his dorm room had boyfriend air. But I mean, obviously that wasn't the term back then, but it was almost like a smell of like, excuse me for this because it's disgusting, but like sweaty sheets.
Sure.
Like if you like the smell of like after you like sweat in your sheets, like that's what it would smell like. I would call that boyfriend air.
Yeah.
And there was always that aura of that smell around. Or if your kids play sports, like the way that their bag smells, like after like a game or something like that.
Well, I mean, I think BO is definitely a distinct one. I mean, you're going to smell that, right? I mean, it's if somebody's a hockey player, a soccer, like you said, right? If they got all their gear in a bag or whatever, you're going to smell that. On the other hand, it's not always bad either, right? So
right.
Like we just picked up a bunch of, like, my wife, she loves to get the soaps at Bed Bath Beyond or wherever it is at the mall, and we just picked up one that's like white t-shirt and it smells like me, I think, and my clothes out of the dryer or if they're hanging or whatever. And you know, you walk into a place and sometimes it's like, you know, a clothesline or you know, summer dried or whatever. So it's like it's the same kind of thing.
You can't smell yourself. So here's what I've realized, and I was thinking about this ever since it started trending last week, is that when my mom has my daughter Dakota, my little one, when she comes home, she smells like Nonna.
Mm-hmm.
She has that smell on her, in her hair, in her clothes, like when I kiss her neck, like that she smells like my mom. And it's like my mom's house, that smell. And I think, and this is what I've been going back and forth on, and I kind of want to see what you have to say about this, is do you think that every house and person has like a distinct smell?
Mm.
Because I don't think it's everywhere I go.
No.
I think some of my friends, like I walk into their house and I don't smell anything.
Right.
I walk into my own house, I never smell a thing.
Right.
Like to me, it just smells like nothing. But there's some people, and some homes that have a distinct smell. But is it everywhere or just some places?
No, I would agree. I think it's some places. I don't think it's everywhere, right? But I mean, I'm not a professional smeller, right? So maybe if I was, I'd be like, no. Every single room I walk into has a smell.
It's a weird question, but like, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Do you think every place you go, every home you walk into has a distinct smell, or do you only think it's some places? And it's weird because it's not always bad, like boyfriend air. Like the way my daughter smells when she comes to my house, it smells good. It reminds me of my mom. It's like, but I can't quite put my finger on what that smell is. You know what I'm talking about? You know, it's a weird thing how some people's houses have a specific smell. It doesn't necessarily have to be good or bad. Yeah. Just like a unique smell.
Some sort of fragrance.
Right. But what Raven and I are trying to figure out is, does every house have a smell or do only some houses have a smell? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Lauren, do you think every house has a specific smell or just some houses?
No, I think only some houses. And I have a theory that it's like some sort of emotional attachment because, like, I can still remember the smell of my grandmother's house, which was a mix of, like, acrylic paint and mothballs. She was, or cedar closet. But, like, if I walk into my neighbor's house that I'm emotionally unattached to, I don't smell a thing.
You know, that might be a very good point. Like, I have some clothes from my father, and I swear to God, I can still smell him on them, even though they've been through the wash in my house dozens of times.
Hey, Sandra, what do you think? Do you think every house has a smell or is it just some of them?
Absolutely. I can go to any of my aunt's house and there is a smell. Number one house always smells like a cloud of bleach. She bleaches her house to disinfect. Another house always smells like Nivea cream. Another house always smells like baked bread. And the last one always smells like lilac.
Sandra, I have a suggestion, and I believe that you should enter into the canine program now with the state police, and I believe that you should be a tracking mammal, all right? I mean, dogs, you know, they can get a lot of places when they're tracking something down, but you can climb ladders. You're a human being, and if your nose is that good, let's put it to work.
I always wonder what people think of what my house smells like.
I agree. Like, does my house have a smell? I would love for somebody to tell me.
Well,
right?
You got to give Sandra your address, clearly.
Yeah. That's my house.
Gabriel, do you think that every house has a specific smell, or is it varied?
Yes. Oh, my God. I have Arab people in my family. That is a whole different smell. I have Ethiopian people in my family. That's a different smell. Also, I just walked into my cousin's house the other day, and it smells like Axe body spray or something. I don't know what it is. Every house has a smell.
Does it stick to them when they leave the house? Do they smell like their house also?
I don't know. Well, I guess I don't get that close to smell people. Mm. So I don't know. Maybe you got to tell me, man.
Well, next time you sniff close to your uncle and just, you know, you let us know.
Julia, does every house have a smell?
Yeah, definitely. For sure. I feel like you can't even really explain what the scent is. It's just like, you know, when you walk in that it's going to smell that way.
Yeah, you know, it's true. And smells are so tightly tied to memories, too, right? So It is true. It's funny. I just got my dad's old truck. And when I get in it, it doesn't specifically smell like him, but it smells like the air around him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and then every once in a while, you'll get like a random whiff of something that like makes you think of an old memory or like your dad's truck or something.
Mm. Yeah. Megan, do you think every house has a smell?
Absolutely, especially if you have cats.
I had cats for many years, and I mean, we were militant about the litter boxes. I mean, we were good. They were on a separate floor. So you couldn't smell the cats, I think, anyways, in my opinion.
Not true.
Well, right. I mean, it's amazing the things you get used to, which is the truth. But they never made messes or anything, but it was one of those things. Now that I don't have cats, I got to be honest. I want to help cats, want to save cats. I'll just donate with cats. I'm a dog guy now because they go outside.
When I was a realtor for many years, and we obviously saw a lot of houses.
Sure.
I could open the door, and I could smell what houses had cats.
Yeah.
It, even if they were immaculate.
Right.
Your house smells like cat.
Yeah, exactly.
Is my best friend Danielle out of line for what she did? Danielle, what happened?
My daughter has a cold, and she was all upset the night she was going to bed because we ran out of Mucinex D. I had appointments in the morning. So I was going to be gone till like noon. And I said, don't worry, Stout. I'm going to get up early. And before I go to my appointments, I'm going to get you Mucinex D. I get up in the morning. It's like 8:15. I go to the pharmacy. And the Mucinex D is behind the counter. So I go to purchase it. And they say, ID, please. And I go, oh, man, I don't have my ID. I had gone out to dinner like the night before and put it in a different purse. I look at them. They're not going to budge. I go, okay, hold on. Keep it out. I go, I'm going to ask someone to buy it for me. I'll be right back.
You told them that you were going to try to get somebody to buy it for you?
I mean, isn't that supposed to be?
Yeah.
And they didn't say anything. Yeah. Like, they didn't.
It's Mucinex.
Yeah.
No, she didn't say anything. She just, you know, whatever.
Like, so, I feel like she was derelict of her duties right there from the beginning. Like, I mean, I feel like she was supposed to say something if she's going to card you and make you stick to it. It's okay.
So I go out into the pharmacy, and it is a little earlier, and there is not a soul in the store. So I go up to the front door where people walk in.
Oh, my gosh.
And a gentleman comes in. And I walked up to him and I said, excuse me, sir, you don't have to say yes. I have a question. I was wondering if you would be willing to buy me some Mucinex D.
Oh,
it's just cold medicine.
You led with that.
I forgot my ID. And he listened. He did. And I was like, I have cash. And I go, it's just cold medicine, but you have to be over 18 to buy it. He looks at me. He goes, I'm sorry, I don't feel comfortable. And I go, okay, whatever. I walk out to my car and someone pulls up next to me. She's going in. I was like, excuse me, you know, same spiel and everything. And she like looked at me like I was a crazy person and was like, no, I'm sorry. I couldn't believe that nobody would buy the cold medicine because I would have said yes.
I mean, your speech just, you led wrong. You're like immediately like, listen, I've got cash. I need this cold medicine.
All right.
It's just a little bit too desperate. Nobody carries cash anymore, Danielle. If you're carrying cash, it's suspect. But accosting me at the door, too, at the same time.
I know. That didn't work in my favor. That was, like, a little weird. But I still thought somebody would buy it for me. And then I quickly realized that this was not going to work out.
Now, there's a couple things to point out here. One, if you're unaware, to buy Mucinex D, you do have to show an ID because there's an ingredient in it that makes a street drug. So they want to be able to track.
Breaking Bad.
Yeah. Who, you know, is buying this and why. What I couldn't believe was that Danielle had the nerve to go to strangers and ask. I would be so embarrassed. Mm. But like, that's why Danielle is so, like, she's outgoing and she's bubbly and, like, she attracts people. And I'm shocked that you couldn't convince one of those people to do it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have asked. I would have asked.
You would have?
And I feel like I would have sealed the deal. I feel like it wouldn't have been a problem.
Well, but you're so much more intimidating than Danielle is, who's 110 pounds soaking wet.
So you think I scare them into buying the Mucinex? You think that's how it works? I don't think so. Danielle, I got to be honest with you. I think your lean frame this time didn't do you any favors, all right? Mm. I would have offered to buy you food. If you're begging me to buy you cough syrup, I would have been like, it's 9 a.m., sweetheart. Wouldn't a cheeseburger be better?
Oh.
How about a breakfast sandwich? How about we get you some help? Can I call somebody for you?
And you told these people that it was for your daughter, right?
Oh, a likely story.
I did. I probably gave too much information, as usual. But again, I don't look like a drug dealer. I looked like a desperate mom, you know, like, oh my God, please.
Like a drug addict. Right. That's right. It's a different look. You're right. Right. Mm. I'm not sure what crime shows you're watching, but okay.
Let's see. Is Danielle out of line for asking people to buy the medication for her? Would you have bought my best friend Mucinex D if she approached you in a parking lot at CVS? Danielle, my best friend, she was so mad this weekend. She went to CVS to pick up Mucinex D for her daughter who had a cold. She forgot her ID at home. She had left it in her purse from the night before. So she started asking random strangers in the store, and I couldn't believe that she was doing that. Like, even in the parking lot, she could not find a single person. And I was wondering, what do you think? Is she out of line for asking strangers to buy her it when she didn't have her ID with her? 1-800-330-9999. Joe, would you have done the same thing?
Absolutely, because that's something I probably would do. And I always get in trouble with my wife for being a wise guy at the store anyway. So I would definitely, definitely have done that for her, no doubt. And I would be the one to ask someone, a stranger, to do the same thing, for sure.
I have no shame asking somebody. I really don't.
I
just feel like, you know, you got to rope them in a little bit differently than she did.
I mean, she was just asking. She's like, hey, can you buy this? My kid is sick. I don't have my license.
You can't lead with cash, all right, you know, and you can't lead with exactly what you want purchased.
When it's something for your kids, you're going to do whatever you got to do, you know?
Yeah. Dee, would you have gotten the medicine, and was she out of line for asking strangers?
Oh, no, she was not. I would have gotten anything for her. As long as, when she said child, oh, I'm a mom, yes, I'll get it for you. What else do you need?
See? I mean,
I guess, unless you just see a little desperation in her eyes, and then you're like, where is this child? You want to protect that child. I don't know. It's crazy.
Hey, Danielle, would you have gotten Danielle the Mucinex D, or is she out of line for asking strangers?
I would have got it, and I probably would have gotten her a beer also to go home and deal with the sick child.
Yeah, wait a minute. Now we're handing out beers and cough syrup at 9 a.m.? You're not a good person, Danielle.
Listen.
You're putting the community at risk.
I don't know if they sell beer at CVS. Do they?
No, I mean, no. You can find it at 9 a.m. if you're the type that's in a parking lot accosting people for cough syrup. You know where to get it.
All right, Michaela, what do you think? Would you have bought her the Mucinex, and was she out of line for even asking?
Probably not. Like, I generally don't, like, do stuff like that if somebody asked me to buy things. Even if she explained it properly, people are good liars, and I just wouldn't have done it.
9 a.m. seems like an honest person. I feel like if you were actually lying, you wouldn't be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. You would be there at...
What, like, if they've been up all night? They've been waiting for me to get here at 9 a.m.
You could smell the difference. Literally. Gracie, what do you think? Would you have bought it for her? Was she out of line for asking?
I don't think she was out of line for asking. As a mom, I know that when your kid is sick, you feel pretty desperate, you know, having to go all the way back home and coming all the way back. Like, I understand why she would walk around and ask people. If she looked like a mom and seemed like legit, she wasn't a teenager asking me to do it, I probably would have bought it for her.
Good for you.
Does anybody really get all that high off of that stuff? Or I guess I don't know.
You'll have to know when you're looking them in the eye.
Exactly.
You know, she could just be frazzled. She could have had a couple cups of coffee that morning, you know? Wow.
Joel, what do you think? Would you have gotten her the medication? Was she out of line for asking?
Yeah, I think she's kind of out of line. I mean, I honestly don't know this woman, you know? She could be lying to me and, like, so this is for her daughter, right? And she left her ID at home. I mean, she doesn't sound like a responsible parent. I mean, she's got to learn her lesson. And so this right here is your lesson. Go back home, get your ID, and understand you got to do the right things to get what you need.
See, nobody wants to be the person that, well, I bought them the cough syrup, and then immediately they went insane, right? Like, nobody wants to be that person, right?
I have to say that I was surprised that both people listened to her whole spiel, because whenever somebody tries to engage me in something,
you're like, immediately, no.
I don't even make eye contact. I'm like, no, I'm not interested. I'm sorry. No, thank you.
Just keep scurrying.
Going. Yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up to you to decide who's right. Sierra and Larry. Sierra, what happened?
Yes, we have a daughter in high school. She's a sophomore, and she was asked to go to the senior prom with this guy that she knows. It's not her boyfriend or anything like that, just sort of a guy that, you know, she hangs out with every now and then, and it's just, you know, fun. She's just going for fun. My husband seems to have a problem with it, and I think it's fine. I mean, a big part of high school was going to the dances, so... You know, you don't always have to have a date. It's just fun to go.
What's your problem with this, Larry? What's your side of things?
Sierra, come on. We all went to the senior high school dances. We know what goes on at those dances. I do not want our sophomore daughter going to a senior prom. That makes no sense. Like, what are his intentions? You know what I mean? Like, when you go to the dance, you know what goes on after those. You know, it's parties and drinking and all kinds of stuff. She's a sophomore, and plus, she doesn't even know this guy that well, you know? So why don't he just invite somebody his own age? You know, it's not even her boyfriend. She doesn't even like the guy.
She's just going to have a fun time. We have raised her right.
It's just a doing
dance.
What?
Dancing. Doing what? It's a dance. It's a dance for dancing.
You know what goes on at those dances and after those dances. You know.
When you have a boyfriend, but he's not her boyfriend.
You go to the after prom, but that's usually school-sponsored now or something.
Right, they sit in a pool,
still,
right? They watch Jaws.
They stay there for 5 minutes, and then they go to the after party and something, you know how it is.
You know, but maybe your experience with the dances will be different than her experience. My dances weren't all about hooking up with my boyfriend. I went to have fun with my friends.
Yeah.
Well, the girls, but then the guys are always have some intentions in the back of their mind, you know.
All right, let's see.
I mean, it sounds like, obviously, Larry, you've got a pretty big preconceived notion about what prom was, and it's a little bit insightful to what your experience may, in fact, have been. I mean,
I'm pretty glad I didn't know you back then.
I mean, listen, I went to other dances. Anna, did you go to other dances?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the first high school dance I think I went to I'm pretty sure I went over to my friend's house to play video games or something, and his older sister was there with a bunch of her girlfriends, and they were like, hey, Becky needs a date. You're going to the junior prom. And it was like, okay, you know, right. And we had a blast, you know. Yep. I mean, we used to all go, like, as groups and hang out, so it didn't really even matter who your date was.
Yep.
Was there parties after? A lot of times there was. Mm-hmm. You know what? We probably would have been going to them anyways, with or without the prom. That's the truth.
Larry, I think that you have a valid point, but I think that you should just tell your daughter that she either has to come home after or you have to know where she is, and you kind of control the situation and you set the expectations and have that conversation with her.
Right. If you have that faith, it's a time where you can confirm that rather than, you know, kind of, I don't know, dig in, but who knows?
Yeah. What do you think? Would you let your sophomore daughter go to the senior prom? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a couple's court. Larry and Sierra have a sophomore daughter, and she's been asked to go to the senior prom. It's not a boyfriend. It's not a very good friend. Just a boy that asked her, and she kind of knows him, says he's nice. And Sierra's like, that's what they do. They go to these proms together. It's innocent. Just let her go.
Yeah, Larry thinks it's a terrible idea. He says, you remember what everybody was trying to do when we went to prom back in the day? Sierra didn't go to prom with Larry, but she sounds a little bit terrified by the whole process. I mean, it's true. Certain people are going in with the intention of partying and hanging out, and the after party is really the event that happens during prom, and a lot of other people just want to go to prom.
Yeah,
and have a great time.
What do you think? Would you let your sophomore daughter go? 1-800-330-9999. Allie, whose side are you on?
I am on, I think her name was Sarah's side. I'm calling from being that sophomore girl invited to a senior prom. My parents let me go, but I wasn't allowed to go to the after party. And that just, like, set me up to be bullied after. And I wasn't a crazy kid. I wasn't promiscuous or anything like that. So if they're not already having problems with her partying and doing all those things, then I agree with you that they should just either track her location or set those expectations as to what she's allowed to do after prom.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Sierra and Larry have a daughter who's a sophomore in high school, and she's just been asked to the senior prom. And mom says, well, you know, he seems like a nice guy. She's not her boyfriend or anything. They're just going as friends. They're going in a group. What's the big deal? Let's let her go.
My first instinct when I hear this is how exciting for their daughter. But Larry, he feels completely the opposite way. He thinks that this is all about trouble. What kind of senior asks a sophomore to go to the dance? What are his intentions? He's never dated their daughter before. It's not a good idea.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Barb, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, and they shouldn't be referring to it as just a dance. It's a senior prom, and that brings on a whole different realm of expectations. I would be very leery about a senior guy, he's a man, having to go down into the sophomore class for a date and asking someone who maybe he doesn't really even know that well. Kind of, I don't know, creeps me out. I'm on his side.
My high school had 81 people in my class.
Wow.
It was very small. And I remember there was a lot of this because, like, just the pickings were slim.
Right.
You know?
I mean, listen, you're in the hall. You see somebody that catches your eye, or you know somebody from your group that you think is cute or whatever, or you like their attitude. I mean, I don't think it's, like, degrading to go date an underclassman.
No, but I do understand and agree with what she says, that a dance is not the same as the prom.
Hey, Dana, whose side are you on today?
So I'm with mom. I think dad's point is valid, but I do think this is a time to trust your daughter and let her instincts show. And I don't think she would do anything silly. I think she's just going for all the right reasons. I'm a girl. I've been there. I went to a senior prom and no shenanigans happened. They should just trust their daughter and let her be a good girl.
Hi, it's Yana and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the mother's side. I feel like today's teenagers are very different and the schools are very different as far as, you know, watching the kids and making sure that they are behaving in school.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Sierra, our audience agreed with you. Larry, if you trust your daughter and she just wants to go and have a good time, let her go to the prom. Going to proms is like the best part about high school.
Exactly. She's going to have fun. Everything's going to be fine. You'll see. We can trust her.
And Larry, I mean, you could talk to the kid. I mean, obviously, if it's somebody that she spent some time hanging around with before, I mean, it's your daughter. So before she's going to this dance, you're going to have a talk with this kid and let him know what your expectations are for the evening and escorting your daughter. But, I mean, you're going to survive this, right?
I mean, I'll definitely have a talk with him for sure. I'll let him know what's going to be going down and what's not going to be going down for sure. I'll have that chat with him.
All right. If you have a problem too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,300 thanks to Cricket. With fast and powerful nationwide 5G on all plans, it's no wonder people who come to Cricket stay with Cricket. Dana, are you ready to play today?
I'm ready.
All right. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Dana.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Raven's going to walk out of here. That door's going to close, and you won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties do go to Raven, but I want to give you this money, Dana, so you have to get more. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, the People's Court will end after 26 seasons. Judge Marilyn Million has been the most recent judge, but who was the first judge to host the show?
Judge Judy?
Number two, Giselle was seen partying with friends at the Rio de Janeiro Festival. In what country does that festival take place?
Brazil.
Number three, Paul Rudd says he still can't believe that he landed his role on Friends. He played the character Mike Hannigan. Who did he marry on the show? Guess. That's time.
Gordy Cox.
Number four, Bernie Sanders accidentally walked into a woman's TikTok video on a New York City sidewalk. He didn't acknowledge it or make a fuss. He just went around. Bernie is a senator from what state?
Maine.
And number five, Raoul Dahl has been trending because there's been some censorship added to his children's books and people are not happy about it. Name two of his books.
God. I just heard this.
Dana, that was not good. Yeah. All right, let me bring Raven.
Terrible.
That's okay.
Yo.
All right, so Dana only got one right.
Wow, Dana, $2,300.
That's embarrassing.
I'm going to take your shot. Let's see how I do.
Number one, People's Court will end after 26 seasons. Judge Marilyn Million has been the most recent judge, but who was the first judge to host the show?
Judge Wapner.
That's right. Number two, Giselle was seen partying with friends at the Rio de Janeiro Festival. In what country does the festival take place?
Happens in Brazil.
That is correct. Number three, Paul Rudd says he still can't believe that he landed his role on Friends. Mike Hannigan was the character that he played. Who did he marry?
That was Phoebe, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders accidentally walked into a woman's TikTok on a New York City sidewalk. He didn't acknowledge it or make a fuss. He just went around. Bernie is a senator from what state?
Vermont.
And number five, Raoul Dahl has been trending because there's been censorship added to his children's book and people are not happy about it. Name two of his books.
Oh, boy. Willy Wonka and... Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and gosh, I don't know. Return to the Chocolate Factory.
Matilda. Forget it. You got like a million. Just please,
Paddington the Bear.
Just give up.
No.
Matilda, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the BFG, the Witches, James and the Giant Peach.
Matilda, I nailed it.
Yeah. After you said 27 wrong things. All right. I'm sorry, Dana. He beat you 4-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven T-shirt.
It's Dana, and I beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $2,400 tomorrow, Anna.